What do you get when the son of an Austrian schnapps distiller falls in love with a beautiful young lady from Guadalajara? The answer is a super premium tequila. We're going to hear more of the story, and we're also going to sip on some of that tequila on this episode of
the Agave Social Club Podcast, hosted by me, Doug Price.
Welcome to the show. I am here with Lorinda Abraham, who is the North American brand manager for Padre Azul Super Premium Tequila. Lorinda, thank you for being here and welcome.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So before we get into this premium tequila, there's a pretty incredible story of how this tequila came to be. Do you mind sharing and telling our listeners what that story is?
Yes, absolutely. As you know, with every tequila, there is a story behind it. This one is the love, actually, between Hans-Peter Eder and his wife. So he's from Austria and she is from Mexico. And they met many years ago. And then once they got married, he fell in love with the Mexican culture. And, you know, he was always a tequila drinker, tequila fan. But they out of that love grew the passion for this tequila. And this is how that tequila was created.
And his father was a pretty famous schnapps distiller and maker. So he was kind of been around this and then coming to Mexico and seeing and falling in love with the culture of tequila in Mexico.
Absolutely. And you know, schnapps is a different spirit altogether compared to the agave spirit. But yeah, that's his father's background.
So before we start drinking any of this, I wanted to see if you could just take us through the process. You know, for anybody listening who doesn't know much about tequila but wants to get into it, what does that process look like on how it's made up until, you know, before it goes into a bottle?
You know, that's one of the most important aspects of agave spirits, especially tequila. You know, it's unlike other spirits such as bourbons and whiskeys and vodkas. Those can be made anytime. So agave, when you have the agave plant and it's planted, so you have to wait. Some producers wait 6 years to harvest to produce. We wait a minimum of 8 years to 10. So 8 to 10 years in the ground waiting to produce estimate 8 bottles for us from each agave plant. So you don't get a big yield, you know, it depends on the cooking process. So 8 years minimum growing in our agave grows in volcanic soil, which is in the valley east of the volcano in Jalisco. So what the volcanic soil does to the plant, it actually keeps it hydrated. And after 8 years, it ripens enough because it has enough hydration and it has enough natural sugar. So the agave actually is nice and ripe after 8 years. And the sugar content, the Brix, is enough to where it'll be perfect, where you don't need to add sugar, additives, preservatives, or anything else like that. So 8 years later, it's harvested. We cut the piña off completely, no leaves. We cut it down to the heart of the piña. Then it's cooked in a old masonry style oven up to 48 hours, a minimum of 24 up to 48.
And that's the traditional way to cook the agaves, the hearts.
Absolutely. It is the traditional way. It takes a lot more time to do it that way instead of an autoclave. Autoclave is similar to a microwave. It's a pressure cooker and you can cook 50 tons of agave in 5-6 hours. So for us, our oven, it's oven number 3 at Tres Mujeres, and that's the only oven that we use, and no one else uses the same oven because over time it's seasoned.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why I say it's cooked 24 to 48, depending on the time of year. So if it's really hot outside in the middle of summer, you might not cook as long, as opposed to in the winter, you might have to cook 2 days. So it's a completely... the oven's completely outside, it's not indoor. So after it's cooked for up to 2 days, then it's cooled for up to 48 hours. It's kind of like taking a beef roast. You cook it at low and long, you get it nice and juicy and the flavors sit, as opposed to you cook it at high heat for a short time, the juices run out. So this, the agave in this process, maintains the molasses, maintains the sugar, the agave, the nectar sits in the piña. So when it comes out, you know, then it's crushed. But then it goes from there into fermentation. So our fermentation, we ferment in the stainless steel. However, it's fermented from natural fermentation. So it's spontaneous. we do not add yeast. So it ferments for up to 96 hours. So for us, again, that's time. And that makes a big difference.
Which time means getting it to the market. And you guys are doing it right, taking your time, saying, hey, we want to make sure this is a great product before we just try to rush to get it out on the shelves.
Absolutely. You know, and it goes back to the love story, you know, the love behind it and how much love and time it takes to create it. So it's not about, you know, quantity, it's about the quality and to be consistent. That's very, very important.
So yeah, so it's now in the tanks. It's letting, you know, nature and science is kind of doing its thing for fermentation. And then what's the next step?
So when we go back and say it's grown for 8 years, it has enough natural sugar, that helps the fermentation because, you know, with fermentation, you need the yeast to eat the sugar to become alcohol. So it has enough natural sugar for that to happen spontaneously. So after fermentation, it goes to be distilled. So every tequila by law has to be distilled 2 times.
Okay.
So we distill ours twice. However, we only bottle the heart of the batch. We do not bottle the entire batch. So we
cutting the heads and the tails
from both rounds. So there's a lot of tequila.
So your yield is going to be much smaller.
Very small. Very small. So let's say we the first run, we distill 500 liters. We bottle 300.
Oh, wow.
So it's if you could imagine a piña being 80 pounds, for us, it takes about 30 pounds of agave to produce one bottle of tequila. And that's an estimate because we don't use yeast. Other producers use yeast. So for them, it takes about 8 pounds to produce a bottle. So it's a lower yield, but a higher quality taste.
And then from there, where does it go?
So after it's distilled, the silver sits in the tank for about 30 days before it's bottled. And then the same product goes into select bourbon barrels for aging. So then our reposado is aged 8 months in bourbon barrels. Our barrels are not recharred super heavy, so you don't have the smokiness that you would get from whiskey or bourbon or some other tequilas that are barrels are overcharred, because we want you to get the agave and the vanilla on the nose as opposed to the smoke. So the reposado is 8 months in bourbon barrels, and then our añejo is 18 months in same type of barrels in the cave underground.
Okay. So you're able to control a little bit of humidity or some of the temperature.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So when you walk into the cave, it's about 100 meters on a slope, and you're going underground, and everything's in tunnels. Everything is temperature controlled by Mother Nature.
Okay, so you're going to pour yourself a little bit of the silver. I've already got some here, and you know, super clear.
It is amazingly clear, and you know, when you smell and taste tequila, what a lot of people do, you know, we're doing it the proper way with the proper glass, you know, a flute or a snifter. But when you smell, instead of just sticking your nose in the glass and smelling like you would champagne or wine, smell it at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. So you smell the top, right, center, and left of the glass. So smell 4 times, you get 4 different aromas.
Yeah. And there's definitely the agaves there. There is a unique sweetness. And I think, you know, you've got your agaves being grown and harvested at, you know, 8 to 10 years. So there's some natural sugars there, and how they're converting the starches into sugars there is playing with it, but almost a floral I pick up. And, you know, as anybody listening, tequila drinkers, as you get into it, one, everybody's palate is different. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we will pick up, but if you don't pick it up, or if you pick up something different, hey, that's okay. Everyone's palate is different, but you want to kind of smell it and kind of see what's going on there. Each nostril could even, you know, gives a different scent to it. And then, you know, as we taste it, you know, we want to kind of hold it in the mouth a little bit, or to really feel there's some complexities going on there. And then afterwards, I like to kind of give a little kiss to just kind of blow a little air out to it.
Absolutely. And when you exhale, you know, the alcohol evaporates off your palate, and then you get other layers of flavor as you inhale again.
And now most people that are getting into tequila, because it is such a popular spirit, you know, there may be a misconception that a silver or a blanco, it's not meant to be sipped. It is, you know, for a margarita, it's for a different type of cocktail. And when you have a tequila that's done right, and it's a silver or blanco, my favorite, I lean towards the silvers and the reposados. I love to drink them neat. And this is definitely something that you can sip on, but I'm sure it also makes a fabulous margarita or a cocktail.
No, absolutely. And you're correct. You know, Blancos and silver tequilas are intended for margaritas and palomas and cocktails. And if you find a really good silver tequila, you do want to sip on it. And this is one of those sipping tequilas. You know, that was the whole goal behind the love story, is to make a good sipping tequila. So this is room temperature we're tasting, and you will see that it doesn't have the burn in the nostrils from the methane, because that's the head of the batch that's not bottled. And then on the end, on the back of the palate, you don't get the bite that you do normally have from tequila. So that's the tail of the batch. So that's the burn from the distilling that's not there because it's not bottled.
Yeah, you've cut it out. All right, well, let's go ahead and try this out. So salute.
So,
yeah, I mean, very, very approachable. That agave is still there. Not much burn at all going down. I mean, this is, I get a little bit of that pepper there.
It has a little bit of spiciness, a little pepper, you know, a little citrus. Faint hint of vanilla.
Yeah.
Which is a natural aromatic of agave plant.
Okay.
It doesn't come from the oak. It comes from the actual plant. So the agave plant flowers twice in average in its life, and that flower is what gives it the aromatics. So if you never allow your agave plant to flower, to grow long enough to flower, that's how you reharvest, but that's where the aroma of vanilla comes from.
And then that vanilla naturally, does that just get intensified after, you know, once it's in a barrel for a little bit? Does that just kind of get intensified naturally from it?
It does. It does.
We're going to move on to the Reposado. Before I do that, though, I do want to talk a little bit about the bottle. I've got a buddy in town here, a good friend of mine, who absolutely just loves this bottle, just the design of it. It's definitely a bottle that you keep, put it up here. It's not a bottle that you want to throw away. I've got another topper here. This is pretty solid.
It is. So the whole idea behind the packaging, you know, the idea was to keep the Mexican culture in the package.
Yeah.
So the Mexican culture is, you know, soccer is number one in Mexico. Number two is Día de los Muertos, which is Day of the Dead. So that's where the skull comes in.
Yeah.
And Day of the Dead in the skull represents eternal friendship. And then the mask on the bottle, if you flip it over, you see the stitching. So it comes off. It's all done by hand. It takes about 200 hands to assemble Padre Azul from harvest to shipping.
Oh, wow.
So the mask is the famous Mexican wrestling. What's it called?
Lucha Libre.
Exactly. So the Lucha Libre puts the mask on. So that's the idea, is that the bottle has its mask. And then the letters are pressed on at 325 degrees by hand, so they stick to the mask. So that's the idea of the design of the package, was to maintain the Mexican culture. Because, you know, you see a lot of different tequila bottles that are really amazing with just, you know, tanks, grenades, you know, dollar bills and musical instruments. But, you know, that's the Mexican culture. And, you know, you can't deny that. But, you know, this is kind of has like a Harley Davidson biker feel to it with the wings. You know?
Absolutely. Beautiful bottle. And real quick for listeners, as you're getting into tequila and as you're at the store and you're looking at bottles, a few things to point out. Always want to look for 100% agave. If it doesn't say 100% agave, it's a mixto and it's full of stuff that you just don't want to have. So 100% agave, it's always got to be made in Mexico. And then a neat thing, you can go to the NOM, the NOM number, on each bottle, you can find it. And there's going to be a four-digit number there that's going to correlate that brand to the distillery. So kind of fun. You can go online. You can look up that distillery. You can see what else is made there. But as you go, don't just go to the store and see the usual top, you know, four or five big brand tequilas. Not all tequilas made the same. You want to make sure you're drinking good quality tequila.
Let's say, hypothetically speaking, Bob and Joe both buy agave from the same farmer and their distilleries side by side, and they make it exactly the same. It's still going to be two different products. It's just because of their equipment, how, you know, how much heat and the temperature and everything. So it definitely makes a difference.
So the Reposado here looks great. You said 8 months.
8 months in bourbon barrels. As you know, Reposados by law has to be aged a minimum of 2 months.
Correct.
Up to 12 to be what they call rested is what reposado translates to. So we do ours for 8 months, which again is time. You know, average reposado on the market's 3 to 5 months. So on the reposado, for me, I get so much more of the vanilla. You get a little bit of the caramel. Yeah. You're going to get nuttiness.
But the agave still, I mean, I still pick up a little of that agave.
Absolutely. And you know, the reason why you still get a strong aromatics of the agave is because of the slow cooking.
Any of that pepper for me is pretty much gone. Any of those spices, they're pretty much gone. This is a very approachable, very well-balanced, you know, this is leaning. We're not at dessert yet. When we get to the añejo, we're heading towards dessert zone, but this is, hey man, this is dinner. And this is very good tequila.
And, you know, you eat a little caramel on it, a little pecan and dried herbs on the finish. And again, you know, I always have to remind people when they drink this tequila for the first time, it's room temperature and you don't have a bite. You know, that's what makes it unique.
Now, what was kind of the idea behind Padre Azul for that European market with HP's background coming from there and seeing maybe the tequila landscape wasn't quite what it is and, you know, in the United States or?
It was mostly for the European market initially, because in Europe, you know, you can go from in the EU, you go from country to country like we do here, from state to state. So as many, you know, travels as they've had, they didn't really have good experience with tequila in Europe. You know, Europe is big on brandies, cognacs, different spirits, but not so much tequila. And, you know, in the tequila umbrella on the globe, you have 3 or 4 dominant tequila players, and that's their options. So the idea was to launch it in Europe and to introduce Europe to a high-end sipping tequila. And then 2.5 years later, after Europe, it came to the States. The U.S. is a very difficult market.
I bet. Okay, so now moving on to the añejo. This is aged the longest. Go ahead and tell us a little bit. Again, we're just intensifying these flavors as they're resting longer in the barrels.
So the añejo is a lot of people's favorite. You know, if you are a whiskey drinker, bourbon drinker, dark liquor drinkers, this is something you're going to really enjoy. And then if you don't, you know, drink dark liquor, you'll still enjoy it because it doesn't have that tequila face after sipping. So 18 months in bourbon barrels, and the añejo category right now is the most popular in America, then the extra añejo also. But this one is amazing because the aromatics. So if you blind taste this, you would never guess tequila first. You might guess tequila 4 or 5. So most people, when I blind taste on the añejo, they tend to go towards cognac, rum.
That's what I would have said first. I would say cognac, yeah. And you and I both have a little more open with the añejo. Is that intentional for you?
It is.
Intentional for me too.
Mine has a skull on it. It's my wife's wine glass.
Ah, see, you've got all the swag. And I see you've got your Padre Azul face mask covering.
Yes, you have to have that. You know, you don't need it in the house, but only when you go out.
And I saw on Instagram, you've got a pretty awesome briefcase that holds your bottles and some other things. It almost kind of makes it look like you would handcuff your wrist to the briefcase. Is that true?
That is true. It is a solid black on black briefcase that's on the inside. When you open the case, it has 3 bottles, one of each expression, and then it has 4 shot glasses. And it's my travel case. So when I travel to do master classes and tastings and presentations, that's what I use. Makes it easy, you know, the bottles don't get tossed and turned. However, we have some of those for some markets, and they're available at some stores. Old Town Tequila had them online, Rancho Liquor in California, and a couple stores in Florida. But it's a really unique product, very, very limited. They're not easy to make, they're expensive, but we give them away. It's a cool product. Arnold Schwarzenegger has one at his house, actually.
Very cool. So añejo aged at least 18 months or 18 months? Is it
18 months? Yes, 18 months minimum. And, you know, again, on the nose on the añejo, you definitely get more vanilla. And then you're going to get a little cocoa.
All right. Padre Azul añejo.
Padre Azul añejo. So the añejo, you know, most añejos, drop off the palate after 6 seconds or so. 20 seconds later, this flavor is still there.
This lingers.
It does linger for a very long time. And then, you know, you get the cocoa, the chocolate on the palate. And then 20 seconds later, the cinnamon comes in, which makes it really unique.
Yeah, this, you know, as I said before, dessert, this is something that dangerously you could just sip on all night long. I'm sure a nice cigar would go great with this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of cigars, Cigar and Spirits magazine does a blind tasting annually, and this was awarded 98 points for their Ferrara Añejo in their blind tasting. So it is the highest rated tequila in the world that we know of. So we have not found another tequila that has the same rating or higher by a major publication. So it's a really nice thing to have. You were saying dinner, you know, when people ask me which is my favorite, you know, usually I say, you know, breakfast is silver, lunch is reposado, añejo is dinner. That's a good way to go.
Okay. Opposed to the appetizer, your main meal and your dessert. We're just going right with breakfast here. And then, so you've got these three expressions and a limited edition. You also have an añejo cristalino. Can you tell us, anybody that doesn't know about the cristalino?
Yes. So the cristalino was produced 2 years ago, and it's very, very limited. It was done with Prison Art in Mexico, which is a charity art group. And this is the bottle. It's
very beautiful.
It's hand etched. This is the European bottle, actually. And it's done with partnership with Swarovski. So the bracelet here has a black skull on it. Let me pull it off. It's a Swarovski crystal skull. It's kind of hard to see. It's a little one. So that goes on the neck of the bottle. And as again, you know, with Mexico, it's always about showmanship. And then the skull that comes with this one is a numbered skull. It's a Swarovski skull that's numbered, and they're all numbered on the inside. And only 1,000 of these were made.
So very rare, very coveted.
1,000 bottles. The Cristalino itself is an extra añejo, filtered one time. As you know, Cristalinos generally are filtered twice, and most of them are reposados. The reason why this one was filtered one time is because we didn't want to lose all the flavor. So most Cristalinos, when you drink them, they're kind of a profile of a Blanco tequila, super smooth, but you don't have the nuances of the oak. So if you see the color on it a little bit, it's kind of hard to see, but the color still has that tint to it from the oak. So charcoal filter one time as opposed to twice.
And you said that's an extra añejo aged even longer?
Yes. So it's aged 3 years.
Okay.
Then filtered.
And then, you know, I've not tried it. I if only I knew somebody that works for Padre Azul that could point me in the right direction. I've not tried it.
I think I know someone that works for Padre Azul that might be able to get you a sample.
Along with that, you do have mini bottles, and I saw you start to bring up, you've got some mini bottles for someone. Hey, let's go ahead and try this out because you're going to fall in love with it and want to buy the larger bottles.
We do. It's the only super premium tequila that makes a 50 mil, as a matter of fact. So the Silver, Reposado, and the Añejo come in 50 mils, and they're great. The skull is, you know, it's a replica bottle. So most shots, minis, 50 mils, they have many names. Most of them are not replica bottles because it's expensive. So, we wanted to stay with true to the brand and make it a replica bottle. And they're fantastic. Easy, you know, get on the plane and bring your own tequila.
And those are available in the United States?
Yes, we are available in the United States. And people can visit PadreAzul.com, and they can go through e-commerce in whatever state they live in. There's somewhere, some store that will ship to their location, even the Canada as well as Mexico. But if you live in Europe, you can shop on Amazon, buy Padre Azul Tequila on Amazon in Europe.
Interesting. And then with the family, I thought I saw online, is there a mezcal within this family, or a mezcal that you guys have?
Yes, we do have a mezcal. It's called Shaman. And Shaman mezcal, to a project that took a long time because of the agave. So it's called Shaman, X-I-A-M-A-N. Shaman means, it's a term that translates to a nomad. And the agave is wild, Tepetexte. So Tepetexte agave that's wild takes about 25 years to mature.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why we don't really produce that much of it, because the agave is not cheap, and also finding the agave. And the locations of the agave is on hillside. So you actually need a donkey to climb the mountains to actually collect the agave and harvest and bring back. So we only made 500 bottles of our mezcal. There's probably 3 or 4 cases somewhere in some warehouse left in one of the distributors, but it sold out incredibly fast because of the rarity of it.
And mezcal is very popular these days. I mean, it's a segment that, I mean, it's growing, a spirit of its own that's growing very fast. But I did see it. Beautiful, beautiful topper. It looked like, is it a panther or something?
Actually, I'll show you a bottle. 1 second.
You just happen to have it. You've got it.
So Shaman, and then that's a Jaguar stopper. Okay. And it's done with what they call Chiquita art and tiny little beads, and takes about 6 hours to produce one of those by hand. In Oaxaca, Mexico, where mezcal comes from, jaguars, it's their natural habitat. So that's kind of why we did the jaguar.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then each bottle is numbered on the side. So this is bottle number, ironically, believe it or not, this is bottle number one.
It's number one. I was going to joke that you were able to get number one, and clearly I thought you'd say no, but you were able to get number one of 500. So, Laurent, incredible tequila here. Thank you for your time. Thank you for telling us about it. Go ahead. I know you had mentioned the website. Any other social media places to be able to find it? Anything, you know, I want people to be able to go into liquor stores and to be able to request Padre Azul. I'm here in Orlando and I found it at Total Wine. So it is available, but any social media, anything that you want to promote, please do so.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So on our website at PadreAzul.com, and that'll take you to an online store. Also our social media, of course, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Padre Azul on Instagram. And you can find all the links on our website. It is available in Total Wines in Florida, Texas, California, whatever store you shop in. You just go to your favorite store and just request Padre Azul. If they don't have it, they'll order it for them. But we are readily available in most markets, most stores, especially the big stores.
That wraps up this episode. If you've enjoyed it, please leave a comment and tell a friend to check it out wherever they listen to podcasts. You can follow me on Instagram at Agave Social Club. And if you're a tequila brand that wants to be featured on the show, you can email me at theagavesocialclub@gmail.com. And as always, please drink responsibly.